Tango Tango Papa 2062, December 13th, 2020.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from home. So I've actually made it home today. Today is Sunday the 13th. So my vacation actually starts on the 16th, and so I was hoping they would get me home by the 15th, but it ended up being here on the 13th. I had a load that is actually a load of eggs they picked up at Galt, Iowa, which is the place is kind of out in the middle of nowhere north of Des Moines, and that delivered to Clarksville, Arkansas. So I was able to pick the load up. It just worked out, so I was able to pick it up soon, right after it was loaded. They told me, well, it'd probably be 3:30 in the afternoon before it'd be loaded. So I decided to go. I was at a truck stop that was about 17 miles from where I was picking the load up at, and so I decided to go over there about an hour early, just to, you know, because it really didn't matter, because I was planning on probably having to spend the night somewhere before I got to Clarksville, Arkansas today, because I could be there any time between, midnight to midnight on the 13th. But in any case, I got there, and the guy said, well, the load just got here. So I was able to get in there and get out fairly quickly, and So I at first I thought, well, I'll stop somewhere, but then the problem was that it was raining, and it actually had snowed some, and so, you know, even though the roads were okay, in decent shape, you know, during the day, the roads were fine. I think they did get a little slick overnight, because I did see some accidents that happened. Vehicles in the ditches that were wrecked and what have you, but that must have happened overnight. But in any case, there's a wide band of precipitation, kind of cold air. It was about 35 degrees, 35 degrees. I'd say that's probably what the average was. So I kept on going, and even down here in Arkansas, they had snow predicted for today, especially for the northwest Arkansas area. They did have snow predicted, so last night I could have stopped here at the house. I could have stopped by home and then got up this morning and delivered the load and then came back. But what I ended up doing, I ended up going all the way to Clarksville, because I did have enough driving hours to get to, out of the 11 hours, I did have enough hours to get there, or time, driving time to get there. And so I got there, it was about 1:30 this morning, did the drop and hook, and then I had 42 minutes of drive time remaining, which that, you know, it's like 97 miles from where I delivered the load at back to, home. And I only had 42 minutes remaining on the 11 hours of driving time. So there's a little truck stop that nearby that I parked at, and I was, that's where I took my break at. And then, so I left there, I guess it was around 12:30 this afternoon, and it was raining, and it was about 36 degrees, something like that, maybe a little bit warmer, And so then once I started north and, you know, off of Interstate 40 north towards home, it cooled down a little bit, down to about 34 degrees. And then, so by the, you know, by the time I got home, to where I dropped my trailer at, the roads were just, getting to the point where, at least in town, where they were starting to get a little bit slushy, because it was snowing at that point, but it was still kind of melting, especially on the interstate. But, so I dropped, you know, I dropped the trailer and then headed, but it's about four miles or so to my house, 4.5 miles. So I, and the road, you know, of course, the road up to my house is that's fairly steep hill. It's got some steep portions. The road was beginning to get a little bit slushy, but I didn't have any trouble at all with the truck bobtailing, getting it on home. And then afterwards, after I got home, I made a quick trip down to West Fork again, down to town, and in my pickup and got the mail, and then stopped by the supermarket. There's a Harps supermarket, stopped there and basically bought some steak and a little bit of salad so I'd have something to eat, and then I came on home. So it's kind of ironic, you know, the last time I was home, I finally got the pickup fixed, because I was been going through this thing for months and months and months since back in April. They had the Ford dealer had ordered a part. You know, they called it a, you know, it's basically it was kind of like an electric panel type thing. You know, it was a body controller is one thing they called it, and then I forget, it was like GEM module, General Electric module. So basically, I looked the part up, and it was a kind of a really an electric panel type thing. So what they finally, and I probably described this in a prior podcast, what I finally did, I actually talked to the parts guy, because they, you know, over all these months since then, every time I called them, they say, well, the part's still on back order. And so this time I talked to the parts guy directly. And he looked, got him to look, and he said, yeah, that they don't seem to be manufacturing that part anymore. It's just not available. It's not available from third parties. But, you know, in the end, they were able to get a remanufactured part. You know, I thought it was going to come from a junkyard, but then on the paper, you know, the receipts that they gave me after they installed it, it had on there that it was a remanufactured part. And I had, after, you know, I looked on Google and I did find there are places that are remanufacturing parts for different vehicles. And of course, you know, even though that's a 98 F-150, you know, Ford maybe manufacturing parts for it, but it's, those are still very common. I used to see a lot of that model style. There was a period of years where they were all very similar. So a lot of those are still out running around on the roads. And so, you know, there's still parts that are, you know, people are going to, even if it's a remanufacturing, it's going to be available. So in any case, when I was home the last time, they fixed it. They were able to install that part and got the four-wheel drive working once again. So it was kind of ironic that, today after I got home, that I used the four-wheel drive. I could have probably gotten away with not using it, by then it was the roads, especially the road here in front of my house, and then on down, you know, down the hill into West Fork, because there's probably about, probably upwards of 600 feet difference in the elevation between West Fork and out here at my house. Is it the? I think the elevation in West Fork is about around 1,200 feet or so, and out here at my house it's about 1,850 feet. So there's about a 600 foot difference there. in elevation, you know, kind of, in, like I say, parts of that hill are relatively steep. So I used a four-wheel drive going down when I got the mail and then supermarket. And it was snowing fairly heavily at that point, and it was kind of sticking. And then I went right back up the hill, no problem, with the four-wheel drive. So that was kind of ironic that I actually used the four-wheel drive essentially right after it was fixed. You know, I kind of needed it, and that's one of the reasons why I keep that vehicle, because I do need to haul things ever so often, but one of the reasons that I keep it is because of this hill that gets to my house. It's a state highway, and it is a secondary road, and even though it's got a fair amount of traffic on it, they don't really clear it. They will eventually, they'll throw, sand or chat or whatever on it, and usually it melts. Now, the snow, that's one of the things, around here. The snow, when it does snow, the snow kind of melts pretty quick. The snow doesn't ever hang around very long like it does in some places. Like, where I was born and raised in Kansas, whenever it would snow, typically the snow would hang around for a while. Even if it didn't snow, it might be, the snow could hang around for weeks after, after we get snow, it could just, even if there was no further precipitation, the snow would still be hanging around on the landscape. Whereas, here, in northwest Arkansas, we'll get snow in the winter, but from time to time, it doesn't last long. So tomorrow... Now, tonight it's supposed to actually get fairly cold. It's supposed to get down to 20 degrees. I'm not sure what the temperature is right now, but I think it's probably, on the way down. It's supposed to be 20 degrees as for the low tonight, and then by sometime in the morning. But then tomorrow it's supposed to be partly sunny, and it's supposed to get up to 40 degrees, so... A lot of the snow is going to melt. Now, in some areas, I think they got a lot more snow than what I got out. I think I might have gotten maybe half an inch out here at the house, if that much. And it was a wet snow, so it was kind of sticking to the, sides of the trees and signs and what have you. So it was a fairly wet snow, but it got the landscape, ended up being white. But that'll probably melt pretty good tomorrow, especially the roadways. If this road out here in front of my house is it'll probably melt just fine. I'm guessing, because after I got back home, I haven't been outside, and I just kind of looked out the window once or twice, and and the snow kind of tapered off. It got to, at first it was larger flakes, and then it got to where it was just really fine, and then it stopped. And so now, I don't know, I'm assuming it's probably going to clear off is why it's going to get cold, because that's usually what happens. If it clears off, then you have the kind of a radiating effect where, the temperature will drop, and so that's probably why it's going to get down to 20 degrees, so... But anyway, I'm home, and so I'm off for my vacation. And so it sounds like, at one time I thought, well, I would do what I've done the past 2 years. I've traveled down to South Texas to where my parents, my parents are in an RV park down there. But can't do that this year because the RV park itself does not want, they're kind of telling the people that live there, no outside people can come in. They don't want people coming and going for the holidays. If people go, they want them to self-quarantine. Let's say somebody goes down there to be in the park for the winter, they want them to self-quarantine for a week or two before they, kind of interact with anybody else. And I guess you know, so they don't want any, you know, outside people kind of coming in. Of course, whenever I would go down there the past couple of years, I rented a motel room, and then I would just drive to the park and then kind of hang out with my parents each day, and then go back at night and, you know, sleep in the motel room. So the other option we were talking about was meeting in Galveston, because we've done that a couple of times. But, you know, I talked to my parents yesterday, and they said, well, we're going to come up there for Christmas. And so they were kind of freaked out. They sit, and especially my mom will sit and watch television all the time. You know, I've told her over and over not to do it, and she says, well, I'm not, you know, she's on her own. She says, well, I could just have to turn that stuff off, because she'll sit and watch those stupid propaganda news channels. And, of course, they play up the virus, and it's just, you know, because the media, it's a dying business, you know, and they've sold their souls to the devil, basically. But at this point, it's kind of like the internet equivalent of clickbait. They're trying to make things as dramatic as possible. And so, you know, she'll watch that stuff, and, you know, she's all concerned about the virus. And she is, you know, let's face it, she's 95 years old. Dad's 86. She'll be 96 January the 2nd. Dad will be 87 December 26th. So he was born the day after New Year's. She was born the day after, he was born the day after Christmas. She was born the day after New Year's. So, you know, they are in a kind of a more vulnerable population group, so they do, you know, they should be concerned, but at the same time, they're just, you know, she's really paranoid. They'll drive. It's a 900 mile trip from South Texas up here, roughly, and their dad does all the driving, and he does a good job driving, but they don't make the 900 mile trip all in one day, so they always have, they stop, and about halfway they'll stop and spend the night in the motel. And so they're worried that if we eat out, might be exposed to the virus, or if we stay in the motel, we might be exposed to the virus, So and she's saying, well, maybe if we laid sleeping bags on top of the motel bed, we'd be, you know, that'd help us be more safe. Well, yeah, you can do that. And, you know, bring your own, if you're really concerned, bring your own blankets and pillows. So they're probably going to be fine. I can only use my kind of anecdotally use myself as an example. And I'm eating out all the time. I'm eating out twice a day, typically. I'm coming and going in truck stops constantly. So I'm being around a lot, you know, in shippers and receivers. I'm around a lot of people. And so far, so good. No problem. I think probably the biggest problem, you're going to be vulnerable to catching some sort of virus, is, not only this virus, but any virus, is if you've got a large family let's say you've got a large gathering, it could be a family gathering or some kind of large gathering where, you know, especially if people are all indoors and, they're kind of all breathing the same air and, kind of having fairly close contact. If you have a large enough group of people, if someone is infected with something, then, obviously you stand a greater chance of kind of passing it along. But so in any case, they're coming up here now. I don't know exactly when they're coming, but they'll be coming. So it looks like this year I'm just going to kind of hang out here at home with them once they arrive here. The entire time, and then I'm scheduled to go back to work on January the 4th. So, you know, that's, so the vacation has kind of started, and, you know, it's, it, you know, it's always kind of nice to, you know, I like to work, and I like to have my time off, you know, every, you know, and I've kind of figured it out that if I stay out about three and a half weeks at a time, and then I come home and I take 5 days off, that is kind of the ideal mix for me as far as not getting too tired of any one thing, and then just kind of taking things in slices. And but it is nice to take the vacation, you know, every, at the, you know, kind of the end of every year, I take the vacation and, you know, spend it with my parents, because as I say, you know, they are elderly and don't know how, you know, I've said this for years, don't know how, you know, how we, you know, when will be the last time, you know, you never know, you know, and that really is true. None of us really know. So, in any case, I was thinking about, you know, earlier today, I was talking to a friend about, you know, getting back to the news media. And why is it that, you know, of course, they're presenting drama. That's what the news media does. It's all about drama. And what is it about human beings? Why do we need drama? What are we looking for? You know, and we do look for drama. We're looking for some sort of drama narratives. And I think that really what drives us to seek drama, we're sort of looking, whether we realize it or not, we're looking for the, you know, kind of a hero narrative. You know, in the typical hero narrative, you know, is what you've got. You know, the thing that would come to mind would be like an old John Wayne movie. You know, where, you know, you've got the, you know, the people, and then you've got some kind of a conflict, and then the hero has to rise and kind of save whoever. And, you know, we are looking for that sort of narrative. But that's really what sort of drives us to find drama, or to, you know, to look for some sort of drama. But then the problem is that, you know, that's the motivation. But, of course, we kind of pervert it. Why do you think people, you know, when you're driving up, you know, freeway or whatever, you're driving down the road and you all of a sudden there's, you see this accident, all these flashing lights, and everybody slams on their brakes, even if it's on the other side of the freeway, and they're looking, rubbernecking to, we even have a term for it, rubbernecking, to see if they can, you know, they want to see the drama of the bent metal, and maybe they'll see a dead body with some blood or something. You know, and of course they'll claim, oh, I don't want to see that. Oh, I have to cover my eyes. Well, why, you know, speaking out of both sides of your mouth. But people do like to see the, especially, you know, oh, look, is there any bent metal? See the, you know, is there a car upside down or something? So there is that aspect of it. You know, you know, and, you know, to a certain extent, we are kind of programmed biologically, from a biological standpoint, we are programmed to kind of seek out the negative things, and we tend to ignore positive things. We tend to ignore things that are actually working. And for valid biological reasons, we're looking for potential problems. So there's that aspect of it as well. But the problem, you know, we have this news media, and it's really a kind of a dying industry, because, you know, now we have a network society, as opposed to the society we had before was basically, they call it a mass society, where you had these giant monolithic elements, let's say elements of, you know, giant monolithic element of government or newspapers, large organizations that sort of dispensed the news. Whereas now you have, you know, it's more of a network society because of the internet, and we're all kind of in contact with a bunch of other people directly. And so these, you know, people are getting their news in a different way. And these traditional mass news outlets are sort of, you know, in the process of dying. And I think that they've accelerated their own demise because of all of the propaganda. And of course, I think they're also, they've taken Chinese money, and they're kind of dispensing their propaganda. And then you have the companies like Facebook and Google, and in particular, that are engaging now in outright censorship. You know, can't talk about the election. You can't talk about election fraud, or Google's gonna, you know, they'll ban you from YouTube, or they'll, you know, you know, President Trump, you know, put anything about President Trump on Facebook or the election, and all of a sudden, you know, underneath you've got this, you know, kind of a goofy warning label, you know, telling you that AP or whatever has, well, I guess now it's the state electors are, have been decided, blah, or whatever the phrasing is. So, you know, you can't, they don't want you discussing fraud. Well, why? They should, if the election was as pure and pristine as they claim that it is, why would they be afraid for, you know, they should be wanting to make sure that every vote's valid, shouldn't they? You know, if you won something, let's, you know, try to make it personal. Let's make it a personal thing. If you're, let's say you're accused of something, wouldn't you want to be vindicated? One time, this had been several years ago, one time I was in this, it was a little pilot truck stop in Indiana, and I forget, you know, don't remember the name of the town, it's along I-69, the pilot truck stop's still there, by the way. Little, you know, kind of a small pilot truck stop with a subway. And so I went in there, and, you know, the subway is sort of on one side of the wall, and on the other side you had like a checkout, you know, and a convenience store type thing. And so I ordered a sandwich. This was before I went on the, you know, changed my diet. So this has been several years ago. Ordered a sandwich and a drink. So I got, you know, while I got the sandwich and, you know, and she gave me the cup, and I got the drink, and, you know, paid for it. Paid for it at the subway thing, and then I walked out to the back out to the truck. The truck was on the fuel island. I just filled it up with fuel. So almost to the truck, out comes running this guy that works in there. Sir, did you forget to pay for your drink? Well, no. I showed him the receipt. I bought the drink, you know, with the sandwich at Subway. Oh, I'm sorry. The woman there, you know, the young woman at the that other pay station thought that you didn't pay for your drink. Well, you know, well, of course I'm going to show the guy what, you know, here's the proof. So if you're accused of something, you know, let's say that, you know, there the certain states, cities are accused of election fraud, shouldn't they want to, if they're legit, shouldn't they want to show that they've paid for, you know, that they did everything on the up and up? Shouldn't they demand that? You know, in my case, I, you know, demanded that the guy look at the receipt. So, but anyway, you know, so I know a lot of people are, you know, kind of defeated, and they're tuned into the, you know, this, basically it's a satanic, you're tuning into satanic news, You know, it's propaganda. It's satanic. It's designed to get you discouraged. It's designed to destroy your faith. It's designed to destroy your faith in God. It's designed to destroy your faith in humanity. It's designed to destroy your faith in the truth. You know, and if you sit and you read that stuff all day, or you sit and you watch any of the news channels, you know, especially even, you know, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, CNBC, whatever the newer ones that are doing fairly well are like Newsmax and One America News. Excuse me. But if you just sit and watch that crap all day, you're being programmed. You got to turn that stuff off, because it's designed. The design of it is to get you to doubt. It's to get you to destroy. It's designed to get you to doubt your faith, to destroy your faith in what you know is right. And there's a lot of people that they're kind of giving in. I've got friends. I tell them, hey, you know, I'm not giving up hope. I think Trump. I still think Trump will prevail. And I think that here's what I think. Now, I might be wrong, but here's what I think. I think that we're going to be shocked as this goes on. We are going to be shocked at what's revealed. And I think there's going to be massive numbers of people that go to jail or worse. And it's not going to be just in America. I think this is going to it's going to really end up being a worldwide phenomenon. I think our elections have been defrauded, not just in this last one, but for a number of years. And I think that the same thing is true with many nations across the world. People thought they had a vote. They thought that they could vote for, you know, you had the illusion that they were voting for, you know, and be able to elect the candidate of their choice, that their vote actually counted, when in fact it didn't. And it was manipulated. Someone else decided. And people just bought into the illusion. When you speak, when I speak, and I don't really know how I do it, but when I speak, when I'm talking, I'm kind of monitoring my own words. And I always try to do this. Now, sometimes I fail, but there's times where I fail to do this. But generally speaking, especially right now, speaking into this microphone, everything I say there's some, you can call it a feeling or a perception that I have. It's kind of reinforcing, the truth. And if I say something, on the other side of the coin, if I say something that's false, that I know that's not true, if I'm trying to argue for something that I really don't believe is true, you know, I feel in some way I end up feeling or perceiving that I'm diminished. So it really is important from not only a spiritual standpoint, but from a pure psychological standpoint, it is important to really only, you know, try to speak the truth, or don't speak in, if you can't speak the truth, then don't say anything. Because when you lie, especially you tell lies with your own mouth, you're actually warping psychologically. You're warping your mind's ability to perceive reality. So it's very important to simply, to speak the truth. And if you don't feel like you can speak the truth, then, you know, you're better off just not saying anything. You know, and yeah, the truth can get you in trouble. You know, in the short term, sometimes the truth can actually end up getting you in trouble. And it's so easy to, you know, just sort of lie, and you think, oh, I've gotten away with whatever. Maybe you feel like you've advanced something, or you didn't get into trouble. But, you know, at the very least, you didn't get yourself into trouble by, you know, telling some kind of a lie. But you've really diminished yourself. So it's really important to, you know, if you, especially if you, let's say you're having a discussion with somebody, it's really important to either not say anything, or just say what you know to be true. And it really is interesting. You can develop a sense of knowing, of being able to perceive whether or not you actually believe something when you say it. So that's a really important thing to be able to develop. So, anyway, I have it's about a minute and a half long Voxer file from Joel that we're going to listen to. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom, I'm listening to your last. I don't necessarily 100% agree with you, but I do think there is some shenanigans. And I do know is if they intend on turning this around, they need to actually find the evidence, which is part of the problem, if it's possible for them to find the evidence. As much as I don't want Biden to win, looks like it's going to happen. Whether it's, I can't really answer if it's fair or not, because there's definitely elements that are trying to hide things. You don't need to look anywhere, but I'm not going to mention the dumps, okay, because, this is a strange election, which we probably had more people vote absentee this year than ever. We've had more people vote at all than ever. So those are some of the things I'm thinking about with that. I can tell you this, when Biden preaches unity, he doesn't really mean it. He doesn't really mean it. I think I heard Trump says they hate him because they hate us. And that's true.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. So, you know, I know the news media, and I know, I'm not listening to it, but I still know what they're saying, that, oh, well, there's no evidence. Well, signed affidavits under penalty of perjury or jail time, you know, eyewitnesses saying, you know, kind of describing the crimes that were committed. That is evidence. In a court of law, that's evidence. Now, you got the video from Georgia, you know, from that election center where they, you know, they ran all the people out except for a few and then pulled the suitcases of ballots out and started, you know, running them through the machines multiple times. There's some direct evidence. You know, they've got some evidence of, you know, those Dominion voting machines, you know, with the so-called fractional voting, you know, where they're, you know, they can kind of twist the dials and come up with whatever vote, whatever candidate they want to win, just by manipulating the you know, the algorithm. You know, so I think there's plenty of evidence. This isn't over yet. I know people get really discouraged. You know, there's been all these court cases, and each time you think, oh, this is the one that's going to do it, and the latest one was the Texas, you know, filing the thing in the Supreme Court, you know, and then the Supreme Court refused to hear it. And then I know a lot of people were down and out about that. It's not over yet. You know, so I know it's easy for people to give up hope, but, do you really think, or do I, you know, and I don't think this, but do you think that, you know, we just kind of fold up and say, oh, well, they cheated. We can't, you know, we just have to let it go because we have, you know, we're just, you know, whatever. They cheated, but we just have to give up our country, you know, and it's obvious that the Chinese have kind of bought a lot of the, you know, they've kind of bought and paid for not only Biden, but they've also bought and paid for a lot of local politicians, governors, you know, state senators, state representatives. A lot of them are kind of on the Chinese dole. And it's obvious. We're just going to let that go. The China, you know, and our country is just going to sort of dissolve. You know, well, there's a whole lot that rides on what happens. Think of all the abortions that will end up happening if it goes the wrong way. You know, and it really comes down to this: do you believe in God? And I'm not just picking on Joel. But, you know, I'm just, you know, saying this generically. You know, I'm just thinking out loud. Do you believe in God? You know, do you really believe in God? Do you believe that if you really do believe in God, do you believe that God is just going to let the world go dark? That he's just going to, forget about the experiment of human beings on Earth? Because as America goes, so goes the world. If America plunges off the cliff, then the rest of the countries in the world, you know, can also kind of kiss their rear ends goodbye. Because the world goes permanently dark and there's no escape from it. And I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't believe God will allow that to happen. You know, so this is kind of a tough time. You know, and as I've said all along, you know, this entire year since March, I've been telling people, now is the time to really examine yourself. You know, now's the time for self-examination. Now's the time to, you know, kind of be still and, you know, there's a line in the Bible, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and listen to your creator. You know, I don't know how many people realize this. The word Israel in the Bible means those who wrestle with God. How many people know that? So in other words, those, you know, the way I look at that, those who wrestle with conscience. And I really do believe that how do you hear the voice of God? How do you, you know, and I really do believe that conscience, true conscience, is sort of the interface. You know, that's how we hear the voice, you know, that's how we as human beings communicate with God. Now, you know, there's this idea that we have to wrestle with conscience. That we wrestle with God. And you know, of course, that can be dangerous. You know, because there's the guy in the Bible story that, you know, he spent the whole night wrestling with God, and basically he got God to change his mind, but he ended up with a broken hip. So, you know, you got to be careful with that, but at the same time, you have, you know, so the idea is, I believe, you have to sort of, we have to really be able to negotiate with our conscience, and that, but that requires us to be still. You know, we can't live simply by written rules, by rote rules. You can't just live that way. You have the letter of the law, and then you have the spirit of the law. And I think that's why there's, you know, people look for some sort of gold standards. People are always, you know, looking for gold standards of behavior. What's the gold standard? Well, you've got the real gold standard is sort of written in our hearts. But that's, you know, kind of subject to a certain extent, that can be negotiated with. And I know people don't like the idea that, you know, the idea is always being presented that God is sort of fixed and changeless. But there are plenty of biblical stories in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where the main character in the story got God to change his mind. So, you know, but we have to, you know, in this process, we sort of have to, you know, wrestle with our conscience. You know, but it really requires to be able to do that successfully, or even have a chance of doing it successfully, of being successful at it, it requires us to be still and know. And that doesn't, you know, and so that means, you know, you have to spend time away from, you have to turn off all, you know, the media. You have to get rid of the distractions. Does that mean you have to do that all the time and live like a monk? No. But you have to, you know, I like to live, as I've said many times, I like to kind of live life in slices. Spend time with friends, you know, slices of time here and there with friends, doing different things. You know, slice of time at work, a slice of time at home, a slice of time of relaxing. And also, along with that, plenty of slices of time where I'm just kind of really alone with God. You know, sort of alone, sitting alone. I spend a lot of time driving down the road with nothing, with, you know, not listening to anything, but just kind of sitting there driving, which is, you know, kind of an automatic task to a large extent. and thinking. So, but it's really necessary to be able to do that. And going back to what I was talking about before, being able to recognize if you're telling, if you're what you're speaking, what's coming out of your mouth, or even it could be what you're, you know, if you're writing something, is that the truth? Is what you're, you know, is what you're saying, do you really believe what you're saying? Do you really believe the words that are coming out of your mouth? And again, in order to do that, you have to be, you have to spend some serious time really alone with your Creator. And that happens, you know, it's kind of an interface with, you know, it's part of our consciousness, or it's a, sort of an interface, it's interfaced, conscience is interfaced directly with our consciousness. You know, we don't even know what the hell consciousness is. We, you know, it seems so familiar, it seems really familiar to us, but... really, it's, you know, from a materialistic viewpoint, it's really quite a mysterious thing. How, you know, what is it? It's really a strange thing. What is the mind? Again, you know, it seems like it's a really familiar thing to us, but at the same time, it's... also quite a mysterious thing. So I remain very optimistic, and I've got a bunch of friends, and you know, every one of them says, well, I hope you're right, I want to believe that you're right. But I've got to be pragmatic. Well, go ahead and be, you know, if you feel that you have to do that, go ahead and do it. But you're probably depressed. You're probably not very happy. You're probably not very, you know, a lot of people aren't feeling very optimistic. Well, I'm, you know, I'm really optimistic. You know, so we'll wait and see what happens. But at the same time, the optimism that I feel is not based on what is going on around me. It's not based on the people around me or the stories that they're telling or the excitement that they seem to portray. So, anyway, probably better be cutting this off and see if I can get it uploaded. So, as I say, I'm on vacation now, so, I'm not sure when my parents will be coming, but so in the meantime, we'll probably, you know, kind of go about my normal business when I'm home, and with the exception, I won't do it as frequently. So, so I could spend some. There are some, you know, like things that I can do around here in the house. You know, kind of go through things again, and there's things that I should probably reorganize and/or get rid of, and. Do more of that kind of thing while I have the opportunity. So, anyhow, hope everyone is having a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.